Deith da, eo bhí nachan. Welcome to podcast number 55. So, for this episode today, we're going old school. What I mean by that is we're going back to the format that I used for a big chunk of the podcast early on, where you're stuck with just me today. And that's for two reasons, really. Firstly, I've had a few people say, oh, we do miss hearing, you know, a bit about the funeral side and about your week and everything. And so I thought I'd do that. And also the second reason is I've been that busy, I haven't had a chance to interview anybody. I've got a couple lined up that I'm open to do in the next week, which are going to be booties. But I just haven't had a chance. So you're stuck with just me tonight. And I thought for the podcast, as you've seen the title, Four Funerals and a Wedding, tis not quite true because obviously since I spoke last week, we've conducted more than four funerals, but I thought I'd use that for a title because it just had a ring with that famous film with Hugh Grant in. So tis just me, so here goes. So last week we visited Pentiddy Natural Burial Ground, and that's up near Pensilva. We have been down to another one before, down near Penzance. That's the Penwith one, Woodland Burial Ground. And there are two or three others in Cornwall, but that's the only two I've ever been to. And just one word of advice. If you look at the Pentiddy website, it's got the postcode at the top, but you ignore that one. And I think further down, they do tell you a different one that will take you to the entrance of the burial ground, because if you go by the one that is the official one, I think you end up going up a old cobbled lane, which is very scenic, but then you come to a dead end and you can see up ahead where you've got to go, but you've got to reverse and turn and go all the way around and do a loop. So that's just one word of advice. But it's a beautiful set. And if I talk about Pentiddy first, I'll just talk about the two that I've been to so that, you know, our personal experience. Pentiddy, it's super. You go in, it's just like a natural field that they manage it. They're very careful about the sort of flowers and that grow there. The burial, you're allowed with all of these natural burial grounds, you are restricted a bit, you know. They want obviously a biodegradable coffin, cardboard, wicker. They will accept any of the natural ones. I think, you know, seagrass, cane, solid oak. I don't think they're so keen on the veneered oaks, you know, the MDF ones at all. And you can go up. I think with both of them, you may be able to even pick your site where you're going to go. But going through our experience, you know, last week, was the last time we was up there. You turn up and they got this lovely old wheeled bier, and then they will take you to the burial ground. And you can do it different ways. I know before we've gone straight there to the graveside and had a little service. Other times you can like go to a different chapel or a church or somewhere first and have the service and then go there for the burial. Or like last week, if you go down through the burial ground, through the field, and it's a lovely little walk, they got this wheeled bier, as I said, and you end up in this little roundhouse, and you can go in there, I don't know, you'll sit about 20 perhaps, and you can have a little service there, and then you make your way back up to the burial, and then if you want to, you can just go down to the roundhouse again and, you know, I've kind of share a few memories and everything. And it is quite nice, really. And another option they do is, I was talking about all the coffins, but what we had last week was a woolen shroud. So it was supplied by Pentiddy, this shroud made out of wool. And I met Steve. He actually sent me a message. He was in Bodmin when we went through, and he sent me a message in the evening. He said, here, did you go through Bodmin today with, you know, woolen coffin sort of thing? So he did spot it. I think it did turn a few heads, I must admit. But, you know, that's where we was last week. And I say it is a lovely setting. I don't think they mark any of the graves there. So they keep a real good plan. So if you went back there and you weren't sure, they could take you exactly to where the grave is. Whereas down at Penwith, it is slightly different down there, in that down there, they will allow a little grave marker with the name on of the person. But again, we've been down there before. They've got a similar place to the roundhouse, somewhere where you can go and, you know, just have a few words, have a little service if you want. And then again, they've got this wooden bier, and then they will push up, you know, to the plot where the burial will take place. And I say very similar then to Pentiddy. And also down at Penwith, they will, at an appropriate time of the year, they will plant a tree as well. But I say that's the only two that I've been to. And there are two or three others. I know Penmount Crematorium now, they've got their own natural burial ground. I must admit, I've never been down to have a look at that. I must next time I'm down there. But anyway, that's where we were last week. Just to give you an idea, it is another alternative to a normal burial. Some of you might actually recognise the name Penwith Cemetery before whatever, because tis also, they got down there the pet crematorium. And I know my dogs was cremated down there. And they also got a pet cemetery down there where you can also bury horses down there. And they run that alongside this woodland burial ground. So then on Saturday, we had the wedding. And that was down at Polseth Methodist Church. Now, for those of you that ain't local, Polseth is a fantastic beach. It is a surfing beach. You might have heard of my escapades when I started bodyboarding now, which for an undertaker, bodyboarding does sound a bit funny. But anyway, a few months ago, I started bodyboarding, and I've now actually, I've picked up a cheap surfboard as well. But I haven't had the guts to go out on it yet. I'm waiting for it to get winter time where it gets a bit quieter. And then, you know, I'll start experimenting then, because I'm bound to make a fool of myself. I think it's going to be a while before I hang 10, as us surfers say. But, Polseth, fantastic place for surfing. And Polseth, this will be my Cornish word for the week, actually. And I think I'll do it now in case I forget directly. And Polseth comes from two words. Polzech, I think it is. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's S-E-G-H. So Polzeth, which is dry creek. So that's what Polzeth means in Cornish, dry creek. And actually, while I'm on it, I might just go off on a tangent, because they always used to say tree, pole, or pen. And that was, there was a survey done, or census. Now, this was back, I think it was early 1600s, where a survey was done, and there was a little rhyme then, a rhyming couplet, where they said, "By tree, pole, and pen shall ye know all Cornishmen." And, of course, in this census, a lot of the names started with one of those three. I mean, to give the example, obviously, you've got the famous Trelawney. That's one. Trevascus, Tregascus, Trevithick. And then Pole, well, Ross Poldark, there's one. And Polkenhorn is another one. And then Penn, well, who can forget David Penallaghan, who sadly lost his life just before one Christmas. I think he was up early visiting the postman kind of thing. He was MP down here. And then also Dolly Pentreath. Now, that's another maid. I'll talk about her sometime. I mean, she was living in the, I think she was born in the late 1600s, and they reckon, I don't know if it is true, because I've heard others still spoke afterwards, but they reckon that she was one of the last known fluent speakers of the Cornish language. And, you know, she was native speaker. Cornish was her main language. So that just gives you an idea of the tree, pole, pen. So then from that, you've also then got all the place names, Trebetheret, Polseth, Penzance. So they all start with tree, pole, or pen. And then also, while we're on it, actually, you're lucky this week, because I think I'll do three other Cornish words, because while we're talking about it, I might as well tell you what they mean. So this is a bonus week for this week, I tell you. So tree in the Cornish language, that means like settlement or homestead. Pole is pond or lake or creek, you know, as we've got in Poles F. And then pen is hill or headland or something like that. And of course, brae also is Cornish for hill. And on another tangent of a tangent, there is a local family out Port Isaac, and they had a little boy last week, and to his lovely, his Christian name is Bray, which I thought was proper. Of course, Poles F, tis like everywhere, it have changed so much over the years, not just down here in Cornwall, but wherever you go. And you can look on the internet, and there's some fantastic old photographs of what Poles F was like 50, 100 years ago. And it's changed a hang of a lot in the last 10 years, really. Redevelopment in the little village. It's all changed. It's not to be confused with New Poles F, which is just round the corner, which is another beautiful little spot looking out to the sea. You know, it's not very far. You can walk to it within 5 minutes walking across the cliff. You're there. If you go by car, you've got a little trek. But it have changed the hang of a lot. And also, if you listen back, actually, to Wynne Oskin, I did speak to her a few episodes back when she used to work in the post office down there, which takes you back a bit as well. Anyway, I'm back now, after going off on a tangent or two, back to talk about the wedding. And like I said, the wedding was last Saturday. I think Poles F Methodist Church. Well, of course, that's what it used to be called, but now it is called Two Station. And I can remember when I started first with funeral directing, we used to do funerals at the Methodist Church there. We didn't do a lot because obviously Poles F is quite a small little village. And then you've got the village of St. Mimver as well. Then you've got Rock. So, you know, there's little villages around sort of thing. But we used to do funerals there. And then, well, quite a few years ago now, it did change to Tube Station. And what is now, they still have their, I think they call them gatherings, but they have their little services there on Sundays. And then during the rest of the week, Tube Station is a bit like a cafe, a meeting place. I think you can actually hire it out. I'm not too sure about that. But the building, it was actually built in the 1930s, and it kind of looks like that from the outside. But when you go in, it is quite different inside to any like church you've seen before. I say we did the last funeral we conducted there perhaps about 18 months ago. Oh, time flies so quickly. But when you go in there, I say it is fantastic. You've got surfboards like hanging on the walls, and then you've got paintings of waves. And then as you look down, there's a half pipe there. And if any of you don't know what a half pipe is, well, that's what you use for skateboarding. So you can actually go and you can go skateboarding in the Tube Station. Now, I don't go nowhere near skateboards ever again. When they first come out, well, when I was still at school. Oh, yeah, I was still at school. Perhaps leaving the boys' school, going up to the comp, I think. One of the first skateboards come out. I might have mentioned this before, I don't know. But I used to skateboard right down across Brook Road, down to Percy Bennett's Undertakers, and around the corner to Water Rat, to the little terraces down there. And, of course, one Friday, I went around the corner, and it is quite dangerous, actually, going down that hill. It was brave and steep. But when I got down the bottom trying to do fancy tricks, I went and tried to flip it up and land on it again. Of course, fell funny and, my leg, it went. And I couldn't move. I was shouting, yelling, because I was out playing by myself that night. Anyway, somebody come eventually. Father took me down to Trelisk, and sure enough, I broke both the tib and fib in my lower leg. All summer, that was just before the summer holidays. All summer, my leg was in plaster from my toes right up to my hip. It was a hang of a thing. In fact, they did set me leg on the Friday night, and I went for an x-ray on the Wednesday, and it hadn't formed right. So they had to get the plaster cast off, break my leg, and put it back together again. But that was what my summer was like that year. And it was a blimmin' hot summer. I used to have these long knitting needles. I have to shove down the plaster cast if you had an itch sort of thing. So that was the one time I crashed. And then the other time, I was up Taormina. We was living then. And I think it was Daisy's skateboard. I'm sure she had the skateboard. And I went down round the corner. And I was going at quite a speed then. And, of course, I went to jump off. But my legs, I wasn't running as fast as my skateboard was going. Oh, hell, I went right over and I headbutt the road. And I saw stars. I tell you, to his hangar. And I cut my eyebrow and everything. I think my sister, Julie, I think she took me into minors injuries, is it, Bob and Hospital that night. And I remember you go into the little waiting room there and there was a nurse there behind the cubicle. And she said, and then, what have you done? I said, well, I fell off my daughter's skateboard. And I hear a voice from a nurse around the corner. She didn't even look. She just said, David Bray. So there we go. I felt quite a prat, really. But anyway, I hit my head a heller. There's quite a few times I've hit my head over the years. I think it's beginning to show, actually. But so I am gone on a skateboard since. So you won't find me on the half pipe. But that's to give you an idea of the setting. But tis like a surfer's cafe. And it's got a lovely feel in there, actually. And I say the last funeral we had in there, it just felt so relaxed. It's got a real good feel about it. And on Saturday, say, 'twas Martin and Libby's wedding, and 'twas a fantastic day. It didn't rain, which was brilliant. 'Twas threatening a bit, but didn't rain. And there was a hang of a crowd there. 'Twas brilliant. I caught up chatting with lots of people I hadn't seen for a while, and everybody enjoyed it. And when you're standing there, when you're waiting for them to come to arrive at the church or at the tube station, you just look back over and you got a brilliant view looking right down over the beach. And then we then went on for the evening do. And again, I had a good yarn with a good gang. But I did say to Martin, actually, that I wouldn't mind having him on a podcast. So hopefully in the near future, Martin will come on. I dearly like listening to Martin talk. I always remember he was given a eulogy once down Rock Methodist Church. And when you go to funerals, obviously the eulogy, to me, that's the main bit when you listen about somebody's life and everything. And I've heard some good eulogies and I've heard some, what should I say, not so good eulogies. And some you feel were too short and some go on a bit too long. And Martin was given this eulogy. Chapel was full. I was stood at the back and he was going on. He'd been talking for quite a while, but you just love listening to him. You know, I could listen to Martin all day long. And luckily, it was a burial afterwards, so we weren't tied to any time restraints, you know, having to get to the crematorium. And I'm stood there at the back and he looks up and he says, David, had I better stop now or can I carry on? So I said, you carry on, Martin, as long as you like, because like I say, I could listen to an all day. And I'm sure that if we get it on here, I think you'd really enjoy listening to him. So that's what I'm aiming for in the next few weeks. But it was a brilliant day, enjoyed by us all. I was also thinking what other memories I just got of like Polzeath and up Glen Road. When I was born and very young, Glen Road was a dead end, and then Two Trees was built. And the first bungalow on the left-hand side then was a Mr. Mahoney. And he used to go down Polzeath in the summers. Now, I don't know if he's related to Lee and Deb Mahoney at all. I must ask Deb about that. But he was fully tan. He had his tan, all year round tan. And what he would do, he would go down throughout the summer and he'd have a trampoline there. So you would pay so much to go on the trampoline for 5 minutes or whatever. And then I'm sure winter time, he'd then go abroad somewhere and spend the winter in the sun and then come back again the next summer. So I remember him and, of course, also You got the Code family. They were so involved with Poe's death. And of course, you've got Anne's Cottage right down there in the centre. And to a sad, obviously, a few years ago, both Beverly and then Rob passed away as well. And, you know, got memories of seeing they and everything. You got the Stotts as well, their shop. There's just so much, you know, memories there. But if I can get a couple of the ones that are still there, like Martin and Jean on, I'll try and do that anyway. So I think that's pretty much all about Poe's death that I'm anyway going to talk about today. Apart from that, me week, well, we've had our usual trips into Glen Valley, and then we've been Eglisale Church, and today we was up St Teth, actually. And then after that, we had the burial at Trelill, which is a beautiful little cemetery in the middle of nowhere. It is just down the road from the village of Trelill, but it is a lovely little cemetery. And then tomorrow we Port Isaac. And that's another, as you know, beautiful place. It is going to be a bit of a challenge because after the service, we're driving down through the village and then we're driving up Churchill. And if you know Churchill, luckily we're driving it, which is one thing because it is a hang of a steep, but it is brave and narrow. And, you know, there isn't a lot of room to spare either side. I've actually cycled up Churchill 3 times, actually. First time I was out with the coasters and they kept going on about Churchill. I'd never gone all the way up before in the car. And of course, I perhaps started a bit too quick and I got about halfway and I had to stop. You know, I couldn't go any further. So I knew that. So the week after I was by myself, I thought, right, I'm going to crack it this time. So down through Port Isaac, going up Churchill, I'm nearly up to the top and coming down towards me is a little Mazda 2-seater sports car. And I ain't going that fast. And I can't unclip in time. You know, I couldn't get my foot out of the cleats in the pedals. And I thought, well, surely Mary will stop just so I can go through. And I beggared if he kept on going. And he scat me leg as he went by. I managed to keep cycling and I did get up to the top. And then a week or two later, I thought, right, I'm going to try again. And lucky this time I didn't meet anything, cycled all the way up and all was fine. But 'tis a horrible ill. I've avoided it ever since, to be honest. So, yeah, that's me the week coming anyway, end of the week. And then I'm open because we're pretty busy next week. I'm open if I can to do my next interview for this podcast over the weekend. I've got to make a phone call tomorrow. And fingers crossed, I'll get that done. So I think that'll be it for this week. I've done me Cornish words. So I say you've had a few. And I think for me Cornish dialect, I had a message from me mate Steve, who lived down Redruth way. I think he might be a Camborne boy. So I don't want to upset him there. I'm sure he's a Camborne boy. And as you know, his Camborne Redruth is a little bit different. And I'm going to get Steve on. I was talking to him. I'll get him on in the future because he actually did work in the tin mine. I think would it have been South Crofty, but he actually worked down the mine. So I think to be interesting to get Eon for one episode. But we was chatting, messaging each other, and he come up with a classic bit of Cornish dialect that I hadn't heard before. I thought, right, I'll use it this week. So if somebody had a kind of their tummy look quite big, he'd say, go, he had great guts blowed up like a poison toad. So that was brilliant. Great guts blowed up like a poison toad. So that's a picture painted for you, isn't it? Right, well, I say that's it for this week. It's a little bit shorter, but I got to crack on now and get things sorted. So I'll speak to you again next week. Wish you well. Do Guinness. Kernobus Fickin.